This is the day which the Lord has made. We will... I love it. Rejoice and be glad in it. To rejoice is a choice. Amen? We have to choose to rejoice, and that is the name of the message today. To rejoice is a choice. Man, we have to remember that. Habakkuk, how do you guys want me to say it? Keokuk. I used to live by a town called Keokuk. We'll just call it another name. But Habakkuk was a prophet, and most of the prophets, they had a word from God, and they spoke to other people about what God has revealed to them. This guy was a little different. He said, God, you've revealed things to me. Now I have some questions to ask back to you. Now, how many of you, by a show of hands, when you speak to God, you like to ask a lot of questions also? And it may not always be, hopefully it's not always, why God? But sometimes it's why or why now, those things. But we like to ask God questions. Well, this is what this young man did. And he had a lot of questions. He said, I've got questions, God. You've revealed something to me, and I just have some questions with what I'm seeing. Think about everything that's going on in this day and age around the nation. Lots going on. We're seeing things, whether it's from this city, this state, this nation, this world. There's a lot going on. And when I was studying for this, I thought, oh, how timely is this? So many things are going on. He's watching a lot of crime happen. And I say crime, really injustices going on. A lot of people right now are saying there's injustice in the world. Yes, let's not think that it's just a group or a nation or a place. It's across the world. Injustice is taking place. It's taking place. And we have to say, how and where do we see God in the middle of that? And I think that'll answer some questions today that he was asking and that you may be asking. God, if you are, why this? Now, granted, God is going to answer his questions and he's going to answer your questions, but it may not be to your satisfaction. And I need you guys to be prepared for that and be prepared to say, when it's not to my satisfaction, God, how should I respond? There's a lot happening in the life of the church body, universal, but prayer, faith, there's things going on. And there's things that each one of us is going through. And our families are going through. And our friends are going through. And God answers those prayers. But we say, God, that wasn't really the answer I was looking for. Could you at least give it a multiple choice and let me pick the answer? And God answers. Habakkuk. So let's read in this. To rejoice is a choice, and God's Word tells us we're going to be starting in chapter 1. We're going to be in all three chapters, actually. But the Bible tells us constantly, rejoice in the Lord when? Always. Rejoice with whom? Those who rejoice. Rejoice when? In our trials and tribulations. Well, God, that's really when I like to start cussing and discussing with you. And I want to have it out with you. I'll never forget, Pastor Jack said, I've dealt with death many times and I accept it. And then when he had a relative die, he said, I was mad at God. And I told God so. Hey, so did this cat in the Bible. God, why? So it starts out and it says, he tells us to rejoice, but in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. Well, let's just stop right there. The burden. I talked a couple weeks ago about having what? Having a burden or a concern for lost souls. So here's this prophet. He says, the burden which the prophet saw. He says, oh Lord, how long shall I cry? Anybody relate to that? How long do I have to cry? How long will you not hear me, God? Even cry out to you, violence, and you will not save. Man, Man, I wouldn't want to be standing next to this guy as he's saying that. But he says, you will not save. And I don't think he's speaking of salvation so much as he's speaking about just the harm and the injury coming to those people involved in the things that he's seen. He says, why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? For plundering and violence are before me. Anybody relate to what they see on TV or what you're experiencing in your own life? Why do you cause me to see trouble, God? Violence and plundering is taking place before my very eyes. There is strife and contention arises, therefore the law is powerless. You think I'm reading the front page of the newspaper rather than something that is thousands of years old. And justice never goes forth, for the wicked surround the righteous, therefore perverse judgment proceeds. I mean, he lays it out there. Says, God, I've opened up the Daily Oklahoman and look what I see. There's violence all around. The law is powerless to do these things. Justice does not go forward. Injustice does. I'm seeing trouble when I look at this. People are robbing and stealing. I told you guys when I got my Bible, there was a delay. Why? Because people smashed out the windows of the place that was rebinding my Bible. You think the guy that owned that shop had anything to do with their frustration? No. Just happened to be on their journey. God, I've got these questions. So God responds in verse 5 and he says, look among the nations and watch. Be utterly astounded. Now I'm not going to read everything there. But if you read on, he does say, for I will work a work in your days, which you would not believe it, even though I told you so. And he says, I'm raising up a bitter and hasty nation, which marches through the breadth of the earth to possess dwelling places that are not theirs. And that's one of his problems. He says, why are you letting these other groups go into these places and take from them that which is not theirs? Better yet, God, why do you let them get away with it? Anybody ever think that? Why are they getting away with that? Why don't they just go in and stop them? I'll get to that in just a minute. So God responds and says, just watch what happens here. And then he goes on in verse 12 and he says, God, I've got a couple more questions. Thank you for the answer. Are you not from everlasting, O Lord my God, my Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, you have appointed them for judgment. O rock, you have marked them for correction. You are of purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on wickedness. Why do you look on those who deal treacherously and hold your tongue when the wicked devours a person more righteous than he? That's pretty honest talk from a prophet. Now again, I don't know that I'd want to be real close as he's asking God those things. God, why do you hold your tongue? All this stuff is taking place. You could say something, you could do something. Why are you holding your tongue? I just pictured Jesus on the cross saying, boy, I could do all this stuff and get myself off here. However, Lord, I'm here in the garden praying, and I know this is coming. But Lord, if you could just give me a pass on this and let this event go. However, not my will, but your will be done. And he's asking, why do you hold your tongue on these things? Why don't you respond back to them in a way that'll satisfy me? Anybody feeling that? God responded to them in the way they deserve, in my opinion, and a way that would satisfy me. Oh, God, you just seem to let him go on with it. And God responds to him and gives him another answer. In chapter 2, it starts out in verse 2, and it says, "And the Lord answered me and said," he said, "write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it, for the vision is yet for an appointed time." Church, we have to remember that. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. God, do you have a better vision? Sure, why should I reveal it to you? You're not ready for the vision I have now. You're not being obedient to me now. Why would I show you a vision that's greater than that for the future? For the vision is yet for an appointed time. But he says, at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Does God say, hey, I'm going to judge everybody? His word says that, right? At an appointed time. He says, though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. That is our assurance. Church, it will come. He said it will come. He will save the righteous, and he will judge the unrighteous. Behold, the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. And he goes on all of chapter 2 and says, here is my response to your questions. You've asked, I've answered. And he says, in the midst of all this that's going on, guess what I'm going to do? And I said I'd do it. I'm going to establish what? My kingdom. It's still going to happen. In the midst of all this, I'm going to establish my kingdom, and all people and all nations will be accountable to me. Wow. All people and all nations will be accountable to me. When? In his time. You see, when someone does an injustice to us, we want the reaction, and we want their judgment to be swift and timely, and we want it to be visible to where we can see it and we can witness it. God, please punish them in front of me so that I will have satisfaction knowing that you have judged them. Church, it may be at the end of their life, when their life here on earth has ended and they're standing before God, that he says, let's talk about those horrible things you did. See, you thought you got away with it, but everybody faces me. But God, I thought that was a myth. My grandparents and parents told me so I would behave. I didn't know it was real. I just thought when you die, life ends and that's it. So I didn't care. Oh no. So you thought you got away with stuff there on earth. But you didn't. See, now you got to face me. And there's two places we're going to be. We're going to be in heaven, or we're going to be in hell for eternity. Oh, by the way, Chiefs, would you push the down button? Because I'm taking this one down to the basement. Sometimes it happens at the end of their life. Things that we'll not be privy to. We won't be able to witness it. We won't be able to see them spending eternity in hell. We won't see all that God doing his justice in his timing. But God, I want to see it here. I want to know. Oh my goodness, I'm sorry. You need to know that God's sitting on the throne doing his job properly. The present day may be filled with chaos. And it may be filled with a bunch of wrongdoing. And right now we may look at the news and say there's lawlessness going on everywhere. But the future belongs to the righteous. and he makes promises to us. And he says, I need you to hold on. By the way, I need you to hold on to that truth. You see, I know you're going through things right now, but I need you to hold on to that truth. What witness are we if we say, yes, I'm one of the righteous ones? Why? Well, the path is smooth and easy, and I just follow it day in and day out. It's easy, so I'm righteous. Hold that spot because we're coming back to it, but turn over to Luke chapter 6. And Jesus talks about that. He says, what good is it being a righteous person if the righteous path is easy? But he covers it in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. It starts and it says, love your enemies. Come on, God, do I have to? But I say to you who hear, that's all of us, that's all watching on Facebook, those who hear, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you and pray for those who spitefully use you. To him who strikes you on the one cheek, offer the other side. And from him who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who asks of you. And from him who takes away your goods, do not ask them back. And just as you want men to do to you, you also do to them likewise. There's a children's message in that. Called, you want to be in a club? It's called a duo club. D-U-O. Do unto others. And to be a member, you have to do unto others as you want them to do unto you. But he goes on in Luke chapter 6, verse 32. And he says, but if you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. Wow. What an eye-opener. Verse 33, and if you do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. Well, cool, I'm ranking right up there with the sinners. Oh, it's because I am one. He says, and if you lend to those with whom you hope to receive back, what credit is that to you? For even sinners lend to sinners to receive as much back. But love your enemies. Do good and lend, hoping for nothing in return, and your reward will be great. Now again, we read that and say, what is it? I just did good. Where's my reward? Should there not be something within like a 24, max 48-hour period, God? Surely there's a statute of limitations on my doing good and receiving the benefit of goodness back to me. Your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High. For he is kind to the unthankful and evil. Oh, no, I didn't want to hear that as a Christian. For he is kind to the unthankful and the evil. Therefore, be merciful, just as your Father also is merciful. Oh, man. God, I was hoping to get away from those people, but now you tell me to go love them. And at times, God, you may reveal to some of us not just to love them. Oh, Lordy, you're asking me to go out and seek them out and offer them something. Do good for them. Spend time with them. God, I just want to love the lovable. It's so much easier. Amen indeed. But he says that's not what it's about. He says, what good is it if we do these things? If I'm righteous just because the path is easy, flip back to Habakkuk. He says, God, in chapter 3 is where we're going next. No, chapter 2, sorry. But he says, I need you to be righteous even when the path is difficult. He says, by the way, I don't need you judging your adversaries. Why? God will judge those that are against you. And it will be in His timing. I'm looking sometimes at our young ladies back there and some of our young people over here even in school. God, why do they have to pick on me? God will judge them. And for some, there will be a point in their life that God will get hold of them and they'll regret what they did. God will judge your adversaries for you. We don't need to go to work trying to do that. In chapter 2, verse 18 and 19, it says, "What profit is the image that its maker should carve it?" I want to listen carefully to this. What profit is the image that its maker should carve it? The molded image, a teacher of lies, that the maker of its mold should trust in it to make mute idols. Woe to him who says to wood, "Awake," to silent stone, "Arise, and it shall teach." Behold, it is overlaid with gold and silver, but listen carefully, church. Yet in it there is no breath at all. Your image and your idol, whatever that is, I don't care if it's your possessions or a person or a thing, has no breath at all. It's dead. Turn away from it, whatever it is. In verse 20, it says, "But the Lord is in His holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before Him." The Lord is in His holy temple. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord still reigns yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And He says, "I'm sitting on this thing, and I will judge at the right time when I see fit to judge." I know you want me to judge them now because you're hurting right now. You're suffering right now, and you're struggling with that because you've been harmed in some way. So I need you, God, to judge them right now so I can feel better about myself. Dang it. I'm sorry, God, I made it about me again. He still reigns. He doesn't need your help to go and say, "God, didn't you just see what they did?" "Yeah, I know. You see, they think they got away with it. But I need you to trust me, and I'm going to judge them in my timing." And you may think, "My gosh, this person lived, you know, why is it crusty old people always live to be this great old age? And God, you take the good ones young." I've asked God that before. "God, you've taken godly people. You took your son at 33 years old. And then he prayed. And he said, "Oh Lord," in chapter 3, "Oh Lord, I have heard your speech and was afraid. Oh Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy." Now he's starting to fear. Lord, when you do your judgment and there's going to be some wrath, ooh, don't forget some mercy, Lord. Is that hitting home with anybody? Lord, bring down your judgment. Rain down judgment on your people. Oh, dang it. I'm one of your people. I forgot about these. Lord, show us mercy. And we want both of those things. We want judgment for them and mercy for us. Lord, my sin wasn't as bad as theirs. But I did these things and they didn't. We did the same thing, but I did better. God says, "I don't care about that." Here's what I want us to get today. Man, why don't you go ahead and come on up now? I was going to wait a minute, but go ahead and come on up. Because we're going to sing about the goodness of God at the end of this service. But listen to these last three verses in chapter 3. And this is what I want you to get or focus on today. And listen carefully. This is his hymn of faith. And he says, "Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit beyond the vines. Now, how does that fit in your life? What does that apply? Though your children did not grow up and have the fruit that you thought they would have, maybe it. Though your job did not pan out the way you thought it would, or your schooling. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. Though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food. God, I put in all this work, and I've done this ministry, and where's the fruit of that? God, I've poured in time to this relationship, and yet it's failing. Though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls. God, I've got empty seats. There's plenty of seats in here. Where are the sheep? Where are the cattle in the stalls? But verse 18. And he says, yet I will rejoice in the Lord, and I will joy in the God of my salvation. We've got to think about these things and think everything we're going through. Our children, our parents, our friends, our job, our money, relationship, illnesses, disease, death, injustice. Where is your strength when those things are failing or not up to your standard, or you don't feel there's enough fruit in that? He says, verse 19, the Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and He will make me walk on my high heels. Hills. High heels? No. High hills. The Lord is your strength. I was talking to someone the other day at work, and he said, you know, none of this stuff here on earth is ours. Our possessions, our money, our homes, our clothing, none of that is ours. Guess what is not ours also? Our troubles, our trials, our tribulations. God says, those are mine. Give those to me. Psalm 55:22, I have this written down in my office at work, and it says, in the Message version, pile your trouble on God's shoulders and He will carry your load. He will help you out and He will never let good people topple into ruin. We have to hold on to that. The Message says in verse 18 of this verse in Habakkuk 3, verse 18, and it says, I'm singing joyful praise to God, and I choose to do that. We have to make a choice to rejoice every day regardless of what we're facing. Amen? Church, in the midst of everything we go through, we have to choose. We have to choose to praise Him. We have to choose that He will be our strength. And we have to choose to rejoice in Him and who and what He is. Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just ask You today just to make this message come alive. God, we pray today that we focus on Your Word and we believe in Your Word and we trust in Your Word. That we know that it is truth. That we rely on You for our strength, and we rely on You in the times of trouble and tribulation. When we turn on TV, when we read the newspaper, when we see the injustice of the world, Lord, we will choose to rejoice in the Lord of our salvation. Lord, I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.